Welcome to Bobcat Chats. Our first guest, Jeff Bowles. And we're going to start this from when Jeff was young, back in Magnolia, Ohio. 35, 40 years ago, Jeff, I was 16 miles away in Louisville, Ohio. At this time, excited school was out, getting ready to play baseball. What were you doing?
Yeah, I was probably doing the same thing. You know, growing up, small town, USA, you played three different sports. You know, there was no AAU, you know, just starting to filter in a little bit, but it was all local. But, you know, you went from one sport to the next, and, you know, same deal. You're practicing, and, you know, you get a rain out, and you get disappointed and upset that no baseball that night.
And, man, I used to get so mad at rainy days in the summer.
Disappointment. Like, yeah, like, come on, like, let's play. You know, and then you drive over to the field, and the field's flooded, and you're like,
yeah,
can't play.
There's a small pond. I would have played in the mud, but there's a small pond.
Yeah.
So then fast forward, you spoke very highly of Coach Hunter, obviously. Your first day at practice, you're coming from Sandy Valley High School. Obviously, you went through some fall workouts or whatever, but your first practice, what was that like?
Yeah, so my whole first year, I did nothing. You know, I tore my ACL in the North-South All-Star Game, St. John Arena. And so my whole first year, I rehabbed. And, you know, that was back in the day, 1990, when it was a whole year, you know, for an ACL. You know, now it's 4 to 6 months. But, you know, so I got to kind of see – I never went through it, but my first redshirt freshman, you know, workout, you know, I thought I was going to die. You know, it's completely different. And, you know, it's – you know, every year it got a little easier because you knew what to expect. You know, we had an old school. We used to lift Sunday night at 6 and then go Tuesdays, Thursday mornings at 6. And, you know, so we lifted and, you know, we'd run like a mile, time mile before our lift sessions. And then Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, we'd do conditioning work on the track. So we'd run 400s, 200s, 100s. It was the absolute worst thing in the world, but it was the best shape I'd ever been in.
Yeah, it's the one thing that basketball players hate to do is run, right? And back then, that was the thing. That's all. It seemed like all you did was run at times.
Yeah, track workouts, and I mean, we did 8-4-2s. You know, 8 down and back, 4 down and back, 2 down and back. We used to do those all the time.
So your players should thank you, because I don't see them out on the track at 6 a.m. They should be grateful they got the 2020 Jeff Bowles and not the 1990 Larry Hunter, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals, you know, strength and conditioning is completely different. And right in 1995, when I was leaving, strength coaches started to come into play. So we used to do these old school workouts, power routine, bench press, 8-6-4-3-2-1-4 on the incline. And, you know, we lifted completely different than today's basketball athlete does.
Yeah, it definitely for the better. But I think it's always interesting to go back and talk to people who played in that era, because it was a completely different mindset. Speaking of that era, probably the best player to ever play in the MAC played in that era.
Well, thank you, Bob. Appreciate that.
What do you think it was like for Gary to play with you? Do you think he realized he was playing with the best player in the MAC?
You know, when Gary first got there, I mean, he was just so raw, you know, rough around the edges. I mean, he grew up a lot different than I did. And I remember, you know, he and I hit it off. And I used to bang, bang, bang with him. And the only thing I had was strength. And so I would use that as much as I could. You know, I could jump this high. He could jump, you know, this high. And, you know, every single day he'd be like, Bowles, you do that one more time, I'm going to beat your ass. And I'd be like, hey, man, do what you got to do. Praying he wouldn't swing on me,
right?
but I knew if I backed down from him, or, you know, he saw any fear, it was game over. And we became really, really good friends. And, you know, I remember, you know, kind of caught me off guard, but he told me one time, he goes, hey, you're the first white person I've ever trusted. And I was kind of like, you know, whoa, that's pretty deep.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah, his upbringing, my upbringing. I was small town USA, mom, dad, you know, went to school, you know, his was a lot different.
And, right.
And, you know, it's well documented, you know, what he went through. But I always tell people that where he is today is amazing. And, you know, Coach Hunter and I think his teammates in Ohio University had a lot to do with that.
He's undisputably the best player in MAC history, right?
I would think so. You know, if you look at his numbers, he played 3 years and he's top 10 in scoring and rebounds. And if he would have played his fourth year, he would have shattered. Like, there would have been no one ever come close. I mean, he would have put in quite close to 2,800 points, you know, a couple thousand rebounds. I mean, it was like he was dominant.
Now, he left. He left to be a top – well, he's a top 15 pick, but he mostly left because you graduated, right? Like,
I'm thinking that. You know, it was actually funny – not funny, but, you know, my senior year, his junior year, we were 16-4, and I blew my knee out for the third time out of Eastern Michigan. And, you know, we were, I think, 11-1 in the MAC at the time. Eastern Michigan and OU were the two best teams. And, you know, I think my injury affected him, you know, mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, you know, a lot of NBA teams were at every game, practice. And I think him seeing me go down, I mean, I think mentally that kind of affected him. You know, just like, hey, I don't want to get hurt.
And, yeah.
You know, we went 8-6 the rest of the way. They lost in the tournament, MAC tournament that year, because we had won the preseason NIT. You know, we were clicking pretty good, you know, at that time. But
I want to talk about that NIT. You played in Madison Square Garden, so I want to know what it was like when you went in there as a 21-year-old kid, and now knowing what you know now about the history of that building. How you look back on that moment?
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, we had a great run. At the time, the preseason NIT was like the biggest thing going on. You know, it's not like it is now. And you know, it was, you know, hard to get into, hard to win. And at the time, we were the only team ever to go on the road the first two games and win it. You know, we went to Ohio State, won that game. I think that was Gary Trent's dad, the first time you ever saw him play.
Wow.
Got out of prison. And then we went on the road, played Virginia. They were ranked 14th in the country. You know, beat them pretty good. And then we played George Washington, New Mexico State to win it. And, you know, playing in the Garden was awesome. You know, you really didn't, like you said, fully appreciate it, you know, while you're there. But, you know, we stayed at the Marriott Marquis. You had the Thanksgiving
Day
parade going on. They had these unbelievable Sunday bowls that Gino Ford used to spend all his per diem on, room service these Sundays, chocolate foot Sundays. But, you know, a couple great memories, you know, winning that thing. And, you know, I was a chemistry, biology major, and I had an organic chemistry test. A neuroanatomy test when I got back because it was during finals. And I was supposed to be studying on that trip, and we won it. We stayed up all night.
Yeah.
I got back at 8 a.m. and I had to take the test right when I got back. And it's the most humble experience of my life.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask how you did on that test. We're just going to bypass that test.
Yeah. I had a high B going into the final and I didn't know what it would be. But, a lot of great memories, you know, from that trip and, you know, just, you know, one of those things that bond you and connect you for life.
Yeah, I think the Jordan documentary has kind of opened up a lot of young people's eyes to, like, how impressive that building was. The Knicks' inability to win basketball games has kind of, I guess, lessened the popularity of that building among young people. But in our era growing up, like, that was the mecca of basketball.
Yeah, I remember I was in the training room, and the Knicks' locker room was right there, so I kind of, you know, looked left and right and didn't see anybody. So I walked out in the Knicks and saw Anthony Mason's jersey right there. And, you know, I loved his Anthony Mason's game and looked left and right. And they're like, what are you doing in here? I'm like, oh, I'm just taking a look at things. But, you know, it was a really cool experience. The whole, you know, I didn't realize until I played in there that there's multiple floors in you know, Madison Square Garden.
Oh.
And the basketball arena is like on the fifth floor, I believe. Yeah, so you know, what you see on TV, that's not the building. There's multiple levels to it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is amazing, right? It's amazing to just be a part of it, and like you said, winning that tournament at that time was really something special. Talk to me, you go through all this process and you've made it very clear that Ohio was your dream job for a number of reasons. And you went to Larry's Doghouse when you got here and all of this kind of stuff. Tell me about, you know, Katie and Sydney and Chase, as you're going through this process and they're going through the idea of moving back to Ohio. And obviously, we're not going to document all your moves. You can get on the website and see all the places you coached. But, you know, Katie's really been with you and supported you. And I know that's a lot more difficult than it seems, as you're in a job for a couple of years and then moving on to another one and then, you know, relocating the kids and things of that sort. So I think it'd be great just to share a little bit about that process and I guess how grateful you are for her support through that.
Yeah, the toughest thing about coaching, you know, as you well know, when you have a family is moving. And, you know, you impact more than just you, you know, when a decision's involved and you're changing states and schools and you know, multiple times. And, you know, when we moved back to Ohio, you know, my daughter was 16 and she lived in like 7 different cities. And, you know, that's the toughest, you know, part about coaching is that aspect. And you miss a lot of kids' activities. You know, birthdays, holidays, games, et cetera. So, you know, to have support, you know, is obviously big. And you know, any decision that we made as a family, coaching move-wise, you know, wasn't about me. If you know, we were at Stony Brook and one of my kids didn't want to move, then, you know, I would not have taken the job. And, you know, I think that's important. But, you know, they understand the coaching, you know, world, the progression, you know, my love for Ohio University and coming back to Ohio. And, you know, that was a big part of us, you know, taking this job because we, you know, we had a great thing going on at Stony Brook. Loved for living sure. on Long Island.
Yeah.
Had some success there. Had the whole team coming back. So, you know, it was a tough decision. But, you know, once you involve your family and, you know, my wife, she's a career woman. She works for Deloitte Consulting and she was probably a few years away from being partner and director, and you know, there were crossroads in our you know, work lives, and we kind of went the basketball route. And you know, she sacrificed a lot on her end, you know, to let me achieve my goals and dreams. And you know, she always tells me, "You're one of the few people in the world who love what they do." And you know, so but you know, you feel bad about it, but you know, it's, you know, the decisions you make as a family and, you know, kind of the path that you go.
Yeah, I think your passion and for your team and your care for your kids is undeniable. Just from the very first time you guys started practice, the energy that you and your staff brought was incredible. But I think you've taught them a lot. But I got to know who taught who in this video. Who?
Thankfully, you know, I only got one ACL left. I never got my third ACL fixed. Thankfully, my only good ACL didn't tear in any of these moves. Yeah, wow. You know, it's one of those deals, and you know better than anybody, it's hard to win. And, you know, the what you put into it to be able to do that. You know, I worked for a guy, Mark Schmidt, at Robert Morris University. Great guy. And you know, he was – after every win, he'd be like, "Hey, we got to celebrate this. You have no idea when the next one's coming." And, you know, so I've always kind of taken that thought process and mantra, you know, winning's hard, man. And – you know, you got to enjoy it. And when you put so much into it and, you know, you want your guys to feel excited to appreciate the moment, to understand what it took to get to that point. And I've been in locker rooms before where you win a game by 12 points and, you know, you walk in and you think you lost by 10 because you didn't win by 25.
Right.
And, you know, winning by one, winning by 20, you know, it's always better to learn from winning than learn from losing. And you can learn both ways. You know, people don't understand that. But, you know, we wanted to celebrate it. And I think, you know, just good lighthearted moment. You know, those were spontaneous, believe it or not. I really didn't have any plan.
You've become TikTok famous in the process. So
Yeah, you know, I think the best thing, Conor McGregor retweeted that one.
And, is that right?
Yeah, the billionaire walk. And, it just kind of happened, and, you know, it was organic.
Yeah, well, you can tell. And you can tell the passion that your guys have for playing for you, and I think that's pretty special. Just a couple more things and talk about the guys that have played for you. You coached a handful of pros, both in overseas and at the NBA level and things of that sort. You have two that definitely have that potential right now, probably more as we watch these young kids develop. But you certainly have two off the top of your head that you have probably the best point guard in the league. And Ben's versatility is something that I think everybody's always been impressed with, and his ability to score different layers. So I guess just talk about those two and the excitement of potential basketball beyond Ohio for them, and maybe a little bit about the challenges that it poses for you and your staff as you guys go through this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, number one, they're two phenomenal people. You know, they're two phenomenal young men off the court. I mean, somebody you'd want your daughter to date. You know, they're just good people, do things the right way, you know, raised the right way. You know, both have different, you know, backgrounds, and I think coming together, you know, makes them both appreciate each other. They complement each other very well, and they both have aspirations to play at the next level. And I think the biggest thing is making sure they understand how hard it is, you know, to play at the elite level in the NBA. I mean, that's the best of the best.
Right.
And if you look at, you know, some of the guys in the NBA that don't even dress, the 13th, 14th, 15th guy, they will walk in any gym in the country in college and dominate. That's how good they are. But I think, you know, when you have that goal, you know, I tell my guys all the time, you know, you have to think bigger and dream bigger. And whatever your goal is, you know, your work ethic, you know, everything, your everything's got to match, you know, what your goals are. Because if they don't match your work ethic, your attitude, your effort level, you're not going to achieve it. And it's hard. But I think, you know, both, they're going to make another jump next year. They made a huge jump, you know, freshman to sophomore year, both of them. And, you know, their leadership, you know, has gotten better throughout the course of the year. It's a big reason why we ended the season the way we did. You know, it was those two. And you know, I've probably talked about five NBA teams in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, you know, about Jason. And, you know, the great thing about having a guy like that is, you know, when those NBA guys come in, you know, they might see another guy that they like. So it's a great opportunity for all our guys, you know, to understand what it takes. And you know, until you see those NBA guys work, like, people think they have an idea of how hard they work, but you really have no idea until you, you know, go into a workout or see those guys, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah. And they're lucky to have somebody that a lot of us pretend like we know what NBA guys do, but you've seen them, you've worked with them. You coached them. You coached against plenty. I mean, I think that's – they're lucky to have you in that regard. Just finishing up, I mean, you did finish on a two-game win streak, which is almost impossible to do in college basketball. So congratulations on that. Took the team to Cleveland for the first time since 2017. The future's obviously very bright. The last question, we know you're a tea aficionado. Starbucks or Dunkin'? Where are you going? Pre-game?
I go to the closest one, and tea is tea. You know, but the coffee, I think, is a little different. And like I said, when I worked for Mark Schmidt at Robert Morris, he's originally from the East Coast, and there were no Dunkin' Donuts in Pittsburgh. So anytime we went recruiting or game over that way, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts on the opposite side of the road, you know, you might go like 3 miles down the one way to do a turnaround and yeah, come back. Right. We had to go to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee, but I go to what's ever closest. It's kind of my routine. Like, I always want a, you know, a venti black hot tea, you know, when I'm leaving the hotel to go to the game.
Right.
There's a lot of times where you can't get one and you kind of feel like naked or you're superstitious and, you know, you don't feel good about it. But, yeah, I'm a big tea drinker.
That must be where the energy comes from. I may have to follow you up on that and maybe get a venti. Something. It won't be coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I could drink some iced tea.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Jeff. I do think the future of Ohio basketball is really bright. It's been a blessing to have you next door and work with you and let you – you always let us watch your practices and things of that sort, and we appreciate that. And we wish you the best of luck.
No, I appreciate you and your staff and the way you do things. And you know, we're just trying to emulate what you guys have done.
Hell.
30 wins, I don't know if I can do that. But
that was a lot. You'll have to talk to